this malcontent millennial could make a glorious victory sound like the end of the world.
Oh, go on. What the hell is wrong with you?
Who's negative about this person, negative about that person? Come on, dude.
But right now, he's changing his tune.
Sunshine, rainbows.
This is Positive Paul on Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
It's the same crap.
Come on, smile, Paul.
Oh, hi, everybody. It's your friend Paul Gallant here. We're going to be positive for the entirety of this segment, at least in the best way that we possibly can. Hey, we got an announcement for the Texans postgame show, and I'm very excited about this. This is going to be starting Sunday after the Texans and Bills, which you'll hear right here on Sports Radio 610. First five games of the season, and for the preseason, it was Sean Pendergast and myself doing postgame. But we're going to add a guy who I think is phenomenally talented, considering he's just getting into the game right now. You guys hear him on the Triple Threat. Heard him on Wednesday on the Triple Threat, I believe at 4 o'clock. That's when he joins Sean and Rich every single week. Cecil Shorts, who, of course, played wide receiver for the Texans just a couple of years ago. This guy's a natural talent. I mean, you know when someone has it. Like, Jason Witten doesn't have it. Cecil Shorts has it. And yeah. I remember when we had him on for Sports Zone Unfiltered a couple of weeks ago, and we have him on this Friday, by the way. You can catch it at 11:30 on theCUBE after some Dynamo soccer. The first time I saw him, I was like, holy crap, this guy's good.
Yeah,
and this is the kind of guy who's going to put me out to pasture. The old ex-athlete who does not even need to try.
You always need to have the balance there. You need the one actual broadcasting professional and the ex-athlete.
Now, my one thing, and I like Cecil as well, is Cecil Shorts ready for the negativity that happens
in the post-game? The drunken negativity.
Like, I'm guessing the Texans will lose a game at some point, hopefully not Sunday, but I'm guessing they'll lose. What's it going to be? Is he going to be ready for the anger from the fans?
Yeah, he'll be fine because he's stepping into what probably will be for the Texans at worst in a 500 season. If they get a few things together, it might be more promising than that. It's when you step in a 2-14 season, and that's where you're doing stuff like that, where all of a sudden like you get grizzled real fast.
Yes,
you get real cynical real fast. He'll be just fine. I don't know how much sleep he's getting. He's got the triplets at home.
That may be why he wants to do the postgame show.
He's not just skilled at broadcasting, he's skilled at procreating.
I'm not sure if they have come home yet. I remember talking with him the other day, and he said they were still in the hospital. So they're coming
home this week, I believe.
Yeah, I'm guessing that is going to be very, very difficult for the man. Seven kids, it really is impressive that he's been able to pull that off.
Seven kids in this day and age. It's one thing when you're just all parked out on the farm somewhere, and you're like, oh, you're six, time to go to work.
Yep.
Now you got to squire him around to places.
And he was born in 1987 as well. It's not like he's Philip Rivers where he's pushing 40 or anything like that.
I was born in 86. What am I doing?
What do you want to have seven kids?
Probably not.
Yeah, are you upset that you don't have seven kids by this point? You can start on that this weekend.
It's such octo-dad.
You can impregnate a woman. Do you realize that, Mike? You have the power in those little danglers of yours to impregnate a woman this weekend if you want to.
That's your next endorsement deal. Mike Meltzer here for sperm donating.
Mike Meltzer for unplanned pregnancies.
Yes. I'm sure that would go over great.
By the way, really quickly, and I don't want to stick on the Texans too long, but I'm optimistic about this weekend because you have a Tennessee Titan team going up against the Baltimore Ravens, who I think we all like, but we're not 100% sure on the consistency of week to week. And, of course, you have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who we don't really know what to make of either, going up against the Dallas Cowboys. It is theoretically possible that all three of these teams could be 3-3 by the end of Sunday.
Are you sure about that? Taylor Lewan told me that the Titans were like the best team that ever was, and the media needs to treat them as such.
Old Boss
That's
Hog.
Weird. Yeah.
Old Boss Hog. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not impossible. This is what happens when teams starts out 0-3. A lot of the stats come out about how unlikely it is to make the playoffs at that point. And I always have to remind people, like, people look at like a 5-10% probability in sports like it's astronomical, like it's the same as winning the Super Bowl or something. Like that's not a freakish occurrence,
right?
It's not that big a deal.
You should more so ask yourself as well, because I understand probability is for a lot of people like the end all be all. But what you should look at is the actual individual circumstance. Yeah, the probability can help you make a pretty safe prediction. Did any of us feel great about the Titans even after the Titans beat the Texans in week two?
No, we felt bad about the Texans for losing to that crap team.
The Titans are the kind of team, as you saw last week, they can lose to anybody. No win is guaranteed for that football team with the style that they play.
Okay, up next.
Are the Titans even favored this week? No, of course not. They're 2.5-point underdogs to Baltimore, which, by the way, I say take Baltimore in that.
We'll be making picks on that game, by the way, coming up at 7:40 this morning.
MLB on Fox used to have this glorious, glorious jingle until they decided, you know what, we're going to go one brand, one song, and move to the football theme for baseball as well. But Jonesy, give me that music. Give it to me. Give it to me. Oh, yeah. Let's go. Baseball! American League Championship Series, the Red Sox. Astros 2. That's all I have to say. I'm very excited about this series.
So this obviously, this music doesn't apply to this series because
it's on TBS.
It's on TBS. However, you're 100% right. Fox failed big time when they went away from this music to go to the NFL on Fox and go with the one music bed for all the sports.
Keep it going, Jonesy.
Oh, is that what they do? They have one music bed for all sports? So well, I mean, trying to brand the network more
right.
than the actual.
Well,
event.
I guess I don't even. Do they have it for college football?
These two guys are shaking their heads. Yes, don't do that thing yesterday where you have confirmation in the room and then you just think about it.
It might be different for college football, but for pro sports, it's the same.
You need different bumpers for different sports. That's a key part.
Listen to this guitar solo.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So also, I'm really pumped for this. I feel like we all should be. This is probably going to be the best sporting event that we see for the rest of the year here in this city. I mean, you have the two best teams in baseball, and I know, Seth, a little bit earlier you were saying, well, are we dismissing the National League too much? Maybe a little bit. The Dodgers are probably a very good team and are going to be just the same tough out that they were last year. I'm assuming they're going to make it to the World Series.
I just don't like it. It's not that we're dismissing them, it's that people are saying declaratively, like, oh, this is the World Series championship right here. Like, that's the classic case of setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah, I get that. But I've felt this before. Like, I remember back in 2004 when it was the Red Sox and Yankees. I felt like that was the World Series, yeah. Even before the Cardinals advanced on. I was like, no one cares about this National League team. I like to think of the National League as a minor leagues unit. It makes me happy.
I feel better about this team this year because we talked about earlier how much more well-rounded it is. But especially, like, I think people have an amnesia about how hard it was to win that World Series.
It was.
Like, do you guys not remember that the Astros didn't march? Do you remember how many of you wanted to quit when you were down 3-2 to the Yankees, that you quit on your fandom? It was really, really difficult, partially because it wasn't as well-rounded a baseball team as it is now. Because they just, if your bats were dead, your bats were dead, and there's nothing you could do about it. It's a different scenario this year.
Game one is Saturday. Game two is Sunday. And that's going to be an interesting Sunday. A very interesting Sunday. I'm curious as to the amount of people in Boston that would be watching the Patriots-Chiefs game versus the Red Sox and Astros game.
I'm curious what that's going to, because the Red Sox game will start a little bit earlier than the Patriots game begins.
Oh, in Boston? Like as far as actual or nationwide?
I'm guessing the football
Chiefs,
game.
That Chiefs-Patriots. Game is that's a rightfully built up game.
I'm guessing the football game will beat it in the ratings, but not by an overwhelming margin. Boston, we'll find out Monday morning.
Okay. Yes, we will. This has me excited and hopefully not wrongly excited because I am 29 years old. My knees are not what they used to be. My hamstrings have popped a couple of times within the last couple of months. But Seth has encouraged me to do something tomorrow that I'm not really 100% sure of what's going to happen. But I will be going out to the Houston SaberCats rugby combine tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
And we're going to see if I've still got something left in the tank athletically. And on top of that, I have never, ever tried out for a professional sport, ever.
Right.
And I don't think I'm going to make the team at all. Look at me. I'm 5'11".
Well, you would be
11,
making like a developmental squad or something. It's not like you're going to make the actual. Oh, yeah. Like, but it would be like, oh, wow, this kid's got some potential.
Come see Paul play next Sunday.
Like, you'd be like anybody, if you don't have any. Now, there's a lot of people that are actual rugby players coming out to try out that actually have a shot at
it. Right.
But they're encouraging people with no rugby experience because they know there are a ton of people, especially in Texas, that are really good athletes that were football players, but
right.
Like, okay, you couldn't make it at A&M, so you just went to party. Go try out.
This is a huge city, so I'm sure there are going to be a lot of ginormous human beings that could easily clobber me. I keep on thinking back to watching my cousin who played rugby at Strict Jesuit going up against this club team from, I'm not even sure, but I vividly remember seeing a couple of 16-year-olds who may or may not have been from, I don't know, they were not from the
They're
United
like
States.
New Zealanders
they looked
stuff.
Like,
yeah,
they
yeah.
looked like they had been, like, they're the offspring of the New Zealand All-Black rugby squad.
Yeah.
If you don't know, they are the top rugby squad in the world. There's
That's
all
the
or
name
nothing
of
about
it.
Them.
They're the All-Blacks,
the
All-Blacks everybody.
Right.
Paul's not sitting here all of a sudden going, like, Mobile, Alabama, 1955.
Seeing a 17-year-old that was their best player who had who had thighs that may have been the size of my waist was very intimidating.
It's nuts. It's a really cool sport. Go to HoustonSaberCats.com/academy, and you can get all the details on that. It's on Saturday at noon.
My big question, will Paul be the fastest guy they're trying out?
No, he won't be the fastest guy, but he might be. He'll be among the fastest. They're going to stick him out there because you're not the biggest guy in the world. So they'll throw you out there with the wings and see how you fare.
My hope would be that if they were to put me in a game, I would be like a late sub because I'm not an endurance guy. I am a burner, and I need like 30 seconds in between plays or so.
But it is, it's kind of like soccer. There's a pace and a rhythm to it. It's where like you're not sprinting constantly the whole time.
That's true.
But that's where learning the game comes in because you gotta be sure you're picking your battles.
One last thing. So, everyone who has listened to me on a regular basis, going all the way back to my first time on the radio here at Sports Radio 610, they know I am a ginormous Game of Thrones fan. I'm huge. I've watched the show through 7 times. So, the final season is eventually coming. I don't know when. But more than anything, especially working here, where there is access to me via the text line, I'm terrified of spoilers. Because this is the one show that you cannot have spoiled for you.
Cannot.
And I apologize if I've ever spoiled the show for anyone out there. But so with drones and the advent and those and just being all over the place, there is a bit of concern over the Game of Thrones cast that somebody will be able to get a drone up over it and be able to actually shoot what's going on and release spoilers.
That's crazy.
So Game of Thrones has gotten these devices that can shoot down drones, essentially. They cost $30,000, and they were made in Yorba Linda, California. It basically, it's shaped like a gun. You can aim it at any flying nuisance. It shoots at a beam, and it disables the drone and drives it back down to the ground.
It sends, like, an electromagnetic field at it that confuses it.
Yeah.
I want me one of these things, man. I've gotten more and more annoyed at drones. Like, I'm just out, like, oh, it's a lovely day at the park. Yeah. What is that, a mosquito? Oh, no, it's just somebody spying on me. That's great. Oh, I hope I completely 100% advocate drone guns for all. My one question about this is, or drone guns, what about the beam? Like, what if the beam goes past the drone and continues on, like, up into the path of a jetliner?
Well, that would suck, but I don't think it would be
that
powerful.
Seth, that's the risk you take.
That's the risk you take.
You know, and
honestly,
spoilers.
I don't want any Game of Thrones spoilers, so, you know.
That's just the risk that you take.
Sorry, just please make a great emergency landing. We need some Sully on that plane.
I can't believe someone actually had the idea that they're going to send a drone. I guess this is a thing now.
Oh, if you've got a drone, you get lots of ideas.
Apparently so.
Think about yourself with a drone right now. Think, like, all kinds of ideas would pop into your head about stuff you want to see.
Dude, we're not going to go down that path. I mean, Mike, one time I was in this very seat that you're in, and someone who is a friend of our, remember Caden, who used to work at Hot 95.7? He had a friend named, I'm not going to give this friend's name, but he had a friend, and his friend one time flew the drone right outside of the window, right here.
Up here?
Floor?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was right next to me. 190
feet up?
And he said, hey, Paul. He texted me, and I was like, oh my God.
That's creepy.
That's impressive.
And that was like 3 or 4 or 5 years ago.
That was before
the
technology is where it is now.
Yeah.
Those things are astoundingly, like, there was a guy out down at Clear Lake the other day. I was hanging out, just reading by the park, and it was a windy day, and this drone goes up, and it just stays completely stable.
It's incredible.
Like, in the middle of all these gusts and everything, it was pretty impressive, but I wanted to shoot it down. It was like, it was kind of like, I'm trying to read this damn book, and all I see is this drone up above me. Yeah.